John Lennon might have played the very first metal bass line by accident before any of the first kind of official metal bands even existed. John wasn't a bassist, he was playing a strange kind of instrument and just doing his best to follow Paul McCartney's rivalry-fueled orders, but the result is a line that was years ahead of its time. And once you hear the story of the feud that led to the song being created and the pretty wild recording session, you'll probably never hear it in quite the same way again. But to understand the bass line in the first place, we have to understand the song that it was played on. And to do that, we have to talk about the feud between the Beatles and their rival British band, The Who. So guitarist for The Who, Pete Townshend, had kind of taken pot shots at the Beatles before in interviews, saying things like,
"And when you actually hear backing tracks of the Beatles without their voices, they're nothing loud, you know."
And when he gave an interview talking about The Who's 1967 single I Can See for Miles, he said it was the raunchiest, loudest, most ridiculous rock and roll record you've ever heard. Now, when Beatles bassist and songwriter Paul McCartney heard about this, he paid attention. He hadn't even heard the song, and he basically made it his mission to outdo The Who. He later said, "The Who had made some track that was the loudest, the most raucous rock and roll, the dirtiest thing they'd ever done, and we decided to do the loudest, nastiest, sweatiest rock number we could." And of course, the song that Paul came up with to outdo The Who was called "The Scandal." But when it came time to recording this epic song, by most accounts, it wasn't Paul who ended up on bass. He wanted to play guitar on this one instead. So bass duties fell to John Lennon, someone who, despite being an incredible songwriter, probably wasn't the strongest instrumentalist. And depending on who you talk to, maybe the second or maybe the third strongest bassist in the Beatles. And also, by all accounts, the actual recording session was wild. They ended up recording 18 takes in a single day, each getting more loud and in your face than the last, thanks to Paul's instructions. There's stories of George Harrison lighting stuff on fire and running around the studio with it above his head. And that thing where Ringo says where he's got blisters on his fingers.
I got blisters on my fingers!
According to Paul, that wasn't a joke. Ringo's fingers were literally bleeding from playing so hard for so long. But it was on this substance-fueled, head-on-fire, bleeding fingers session that we got what was possibly the first metal bass line. But what exactly makes it metal in the first place? The first thing is the tone. The sound of the bass on Helter Skelter is different than nearly all of the bass titans of the time. The most influential bassists around then, you know, James Jameson or Carole Kay or even Paul McCartney himself, they all generally used a very deep, very warm, very beefy sound. What we get on Helter Skelter, though, is the polar opposite. Here is what the isolated bass actually sounds like. The bass sound on this song is raw, edgy, biting, crisp, and it's a tone that doesn't really fit the kind of standard expectations of bass tone from the time. Because remember, this is 1968. The closest big name bassist from around that time that used a kind of brighter sound was actually John Entwistle from The Who. But even then, the bass sound on Helter Skelter is the kind of most extreme version of this, where the high end and the treble stuff is so far forward in the mix that the actual bass frequencies, they almost come as a bit of an afterthought. And according to the Beatles' road manager, Mal Evans, one huge reason for the tone is that John Lennon wasn't playing a bass like this, or even this. He actually played this on one of these. This is a Fender Bass 6, and it is essentially a normal six-string electric guitar, slightly longer scale, specific strings, and everything is tuned down an octave. Basically, this is a bass that was made for guitarists who don't necessarily play a lot of bass, which was exactly what John Lennon was. Just have a listen to the difference in tone between something like this that Paul might play on his older Hofner versus a Bass 6.
One day I'll learn how to use a pick.
Now for me, trying to get a tone like what's on Helter Skelter, I'm only going to use my bridge pickup, this one right here, to try and get that, you know, super crisp body tone, and I'm going to put my tone knob all the way up. Now I'm not sure, there's a strangle kind of switch here, which kind of takes out a ton of the low end. I think it's if you want to do some like baritone kind of stuff, it might be that that has been activated on Helter Skelter because, you know, the treble parts are so far forward and the bass is kind of in the background. So maybe that was a thing as well. Now, of course, it is possible to get a warmer sound from the bass six by just, you know, using more of the pickups, turning the tone knob down a little bit and then disengaging the kind of strangle switch. Maybe even using a bit of palm muting. Oh, like that maybe. So it is possible to get that kind of warmer sound, but the fact that this kind of sound wasn't used on the original recording, that kind of suggests to me that the super trebly sound was a choice that was made for the song. Now the record keeping for this actual session seems to be a bit scant, so I don't know exactly how it was recorded. Like, did he plug directly into the desk? I don't know. If there was an amp, I don't know. If there was, I don't know what the settings were or anything like that. However, only looking at the instrument and the amp and their settings misses something that's probably even more important, and that's what he's actually playing and how it's being played. So how does John play it? Well, first of all, he's using a pick and he picks so hard through this whole song. It sounds like it's mostly kind of heavy downstrokes. You're hearing so much of the kind of clicks and rattles of the frets in the original recording, and that trebly click is one of the reasons this bass line kind of feels so metal, even though it was 1968. You can hear this kind of treble heavy approach to bass tone in the metal bassists who came after, the actual metal bassists, people like Geezer Butler of Black Sabbath. Or Steve Harris of Iron Maiden. All the way up to Fieldy from Korn. They all use a decent amount of high end in their sound so the bass can cut through and really sound really nice and aggressive, right? Like all metal bass lines should. But like I said, it's also what John plays. So, what does he play? A lot. He plays a lot of notes. Just about everywhere he can, he's kind of chugging these 16th note lines, like in the voice. In the voice! I tell you, Bosh, it's in the voice! Just about everywhere he can, he's kind of chugging these 16th note lines, like in the verse. And you'll also notice him do this thing where he plays this D below the E and then hammers as brutal as he can up to the E. You know, he does that a lot throughout the verses on that E chord, you know, just as brutal as can possibly be. But he even does some really cool fill type ideas, like about halfway through the song, he plays this. That's cool, that's really cool. The execution might not be ultra clean on the original if you hear it, but he's fulfilling Paul's instructions, you know, getting basically all the notes in he can and making it as raucous as possible. And then of course, there's the absolutely classic lick in the chorus. That's also 16th note based and also in unison with that kind of distorted guitar, something that would become a metal staple later on. Just about the only time in this line where there aren't tons of 16th note ideas is right at the point where he's kind of pumping 8th notes before the lick in the chorus, as well at the ends of the verses. Now this chugging and totally filling the bar thing, that is such a metal thing to do. Just check out Black Sabbath a few years later with a song like Paranoid. Similar kind of chugging idea, chugging away on the root on that super insistent rhythm, except now it's not just the bass doing it, it's the guitars as well. They've jumped on that idea. This guitar and bass chugging, especially on like a low E, that is another metal staple. Everyone from the early metal bands like Sabbath and Judas Priest and later on to Metallica and further on than that, you know, when you get into the thrash stuff, Then it becomes not just the guitars and basses playing the rhythm on the chug, it's also the double kick as well. They all use this idea that kind of John was fully committing to back in 1968. It's wild. But beyond the tone and the kind of busyness of the line, John was also ultra aggressive with the time, with the groove. Listen to just how far ahead he gets of Ringo's drumming in certain sections. Rhythmically, the bass is pushing so hard here to the point where it's almost on the brink of being out of time and maybe things are getting a little bit too sloppy jalopy. Now, normally, this is a cardinal sin as a bass player, but in this song, in this specific context, it kind of works. It kind of really works. It gives it this kind of crazed, aggressive, frenetic energy. And for this specific song that was engineered to be kind of aggressive and as aggressive as possible, it actually fits really, really well. But was it actually John who played it? There is actually some debate about whether it's actually John or Paul on the bass on the, you know, album recording of this. And a good chunk of that speculation comes from some studio chatter from earlier unreleased takes of the song, where Paul seems to be playing bass in between takes to kind of demonstrate a few things. However, there's no photos or videos from that particular session, and the take that ended up being used was four full takes after the chatter in question. And it's, you know, also very possible that Paul was just kind of demonstrating something on bass because that was what was handy, or maybe that's just what he felt most comfortable on. No one can really tell for sure. The majority of the credits have John listed as playing bass, and Paul hasn't ever contradicted those. But with how wild the session was, I guess it is possible that Paul ended up on the bass on the final take. However, the biggest reason to me that it sounds more like John, it comes from looking at how Paul plays this song when he plays it live. In all the live clips, Paul's tone is darker and warmer, partly from him using his Hofner, partly because of him using his, you know, a bit of a classic palm muting technique. He's also playing fewer notes, and perhaps most importantly, that kind of frenzied energy of the original bass line and him pushing on the time, it's not quite the same when Paul plays it live. Now, this could just be because Paul needs to sing and play at the same time, something that they didn't need to do in the studio. But even playing live, in the parts of the song where Paul isn't kind of required to sing, like in between the choruses and the verses, for example, he never goes to the same levels of kind of density as the original recording. Paul also doesn't push on the time live in the same way at all, which was something John sometimes did regardless of what instrument he was playing. Now, this is not to say that Paul is in any way kind of doing it wrong when he plays Helter Skelter live. I mean, come on, not only did he write the song, but he's Paul McCartney. But his tone, his time feel, and the relative restraint that Paul shows when playing it live, it kind of makes me lean towards thinking that John played bass on the original. I could definitely be wrong, but regardless of who played it, was this the very first metal bass line? I think you could definitely make that argument. In fact, some people do make that argument. When someone asked Rob Halford, the legendary frontman of Judas Priest, whether the Beatles had a hand in creating metal, he said this: "There's no way of dismissing that possibility. They were turning things up, weren't they? They were turning up the amps, especially on Helter Skelter. Incredibly strong. And when you look at the kinds of musicians that have released covers of Helter Skelter, artists like Ian Gillan of Deep Purple, Motley Crue, Marilyn Manson, and Rob Zombie, you kind of start to see the covers kind of cluster around the metal and harder rock genres. Now, some people disagree about Helter Skelter being a kind of precursor of metal. That's okay. The important thing to remember, at least in my opinion, is that no genre just ever kind of appears out of nowhere in an instant. They always evolve through thousands of tiny steps. But I would say that this song is definitely at least one of those steps, and a decently sized one as well. The tone, the busyness, the aggressiveness, the energy, it all works so well here because the song demands it, and it was doing some very metal things before metal even was a thing. But what happens if you take that same kind of wild energy to a song that doesn't call for it? Well, there is another bass line that Lennon recorded that was so questionable that some people actually accused him of trying to sabotage the band. So check out this video if you want to hear that other bass line and make up your own mind about whether you think it amounts to sabotage or not.